I'll just ask you a few questions and we'll edit this down. Okay. When did you start flying?
I started in 1996 learning, training to fly.
You fly planes as well as helicopters?
I can. I don't on a regular basis anymore, but I am qualified.
What led you into this field?
Well, I didn't really want to fly helicopters for a living, but opportunities arose. I was in the National Guard for 20 years, and that's where I got my training for helicopters. And I was deployed to Iraq for a year, and that the hour mark by flying over there pushed me to be able to apply for a job like this, and so I took the opportunity.
So how does it work when you're piloting one of these planes that they use as an air ambulance, is what I would call that? Do you work a certain number of days in a row? Are you on call a lot? What's the schedule like?
We have a set schedule. We're restricted more by the FAA than anything. So we can only do a 14-hour duty day. So we schedule 12-hour shifts. And so we work 7 days on, 7 days off.
Give me an idea of like the busiest day. How many flights in one shift would you estimate that you did?
I've done four in a 12-hour shift before. And that's pretty well busy the entire day, our 12-hour shift.
So when a call comes in, how do you know what you're going to be flying into? In other words, I'm curious as to, do you have designated landing areas around the area, or under certain circumstances, do you create your own landing area?
Yes to both of those. And no, we don't know where we're going to go. We know the city that we're going to go to or the general area. And whenever there's weather in the area that we have to be looking close at, that is all the information that we get. The company wants to make sure that we can complete that flight successfully without any other extenuating circumstances, as in knowing what kind of patient we're going after. That doesn't want to be in the thought process. So once we have accepted for the weather and that we're good, then we find out what we're going to go after. Is it an accident? Is it a transport, and so on and so forth? All hospitals have landing pads at them. We do have pre-designated landing zones kind of spread out throughout the entire state. All the counties kind of put those up. And then if it's an accident scene, we will be going to just the location that the accident scene is at, and that we don't know what exactly it looks like. Local fire departments are responsible for setting those landing zones up, and that's how where we get our information. Once we get there, they tell us what's there, and then we look at it and land.
So what do you need is the smallest area you could possibly land in?
Each aircraft's a little bit different, but this aircraft we need around about 40 by 80 is what we need. We like to have around 100 by 100. That's just to give us a little safety zone there.
So you have to make the decision before you leave your base as to whether that's going to be something the weather is cooperating and everything else. You need to make that decision pretty quickly.
Yes, that's pretty much the only thing that we that we look at before we go that's going to hinder us from completing the flight successfully. Of course, everything else is could happen along the way, you know, any mechanical or anything like that. But we want to know 100% that we're going to be able to complete it back and forth based on the current weather at the time.
And I've been told you have a 3-person crew, so you're the pilot, but the other two are the medical persons.
That's correct. We have a flight paramedic and a flight nurse.
And so what did they communicate to you, if anything, while on the way when they find out what it's going to be? How much does that play into what you do as a pilot in I don't want to say taking risk or flying fast, but does it matter? I mean, you just want to get where you're going safely and back.
It is, but we do communicate the entire way there. If it's a hospital transfer, maybe a little bit less, but there is communication along the way. A scene flight, we're always communicating the entire way, all the different types of possibilities. And then our thought process is, what do we have in between if possibly we have to divert to a different hospital? We're kind of thinking about that the entire way, but communicating the entire flight.
Some of the specifics as to what you look for as far as weather. Is there a high temperature, a low temperature, sustained wind? What would be some of the conditions that you would say those would be borderline?
It's more the cloud layers and visibility is what really restricts us for the most part. Temperature can be. We base that on, you know, patient care. But we do have to look at that a little bit on the temperature side for the aircraft. The cloud height and the visibility is the biggest thing that we look at when we go visually. But this aircraft is able to fly in the clouds. So we can, if it's not good enough, we can depart and fly into the clouds to go to an airport and then to a hospital from there.
Final question. I'm always curious as to where is the line where it, like how far away from the hospital would it be that you would draw the line, an ambulance works to here, helicopter works past here? I guess it's where that break-even line is as to where it'd be most important and beneficial to use a helicopter.
It's going to be based on the patient at that point. It'll be an accident scene if it's a close by one, and more than likely it'll be, for instance, an extrication. That is a lengthy extrication that they don't want to spend any longer time driving after that, so they'll send us, and even though it's only 4 or 5 miles away, we'll get them here quicker still by ambulance, but we're en route while they're still extricating. And that's pretty much going to be probably the only reason that we would go a short distance. Longer distance, obviously, we're going to go just because it's faster for us to get here than an ambulance.
Is there a cutoff age where somebody doesn't want to fly a helicopter anymore?
I don't know. It gets in your blood, and sometimes they make you stop, but no, it's, not really.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you.